me just invite you to open your Bibles. Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 5 and 6. Through Him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. You are also called of Jesus Christ. Some of you, I think three or four of you asked me, are you nervous? Well, I'd be lying to you if I told you no. As a matter of fact, it reminded me when I was driving to the home of Brother Mike Schrader there to ask to see, just to see if he would let me court his daughter. Yeah, I'm nervous. It's kind of scary. But I'm here. And praise the Lord. Are you happy this morning? Are you ready to worship? It's amazing. You have a beautiful view here. Just, I'm going to try to keep your eyes on me, okay? And I know what's going to be happening when all of you are going to be facing that way. I lost him. So don't make me put blinds there. No, I won't. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll move the pulpit over there. A lot of friends. I've known some of you since Manuel, Huntington Park. We go way back, Huntington Park. Little kids running around getting in trouble in churches. I know you can't believe that, right? And some of you from the valley, Rogue River and Grants Pass. My mom, my sister made it. Hello, Patty. Stand up, Patty, because you weren't here when you... That's my sister. Now, my brother and my sister, they're the ones... you hear a lot of children's stories. They're the motivators of a lot of children's stories I'm going to tell. Thank them for those children's stories you're going to be hearing. It's good to have them here. Victor de la Vega keeps our church clean here. I'm glad you're here. Good to see you here. The quartet. Thank you for the music. I like music. But if I were to ask me what's your favorite, it would be a cappella quartet. I like that. So it's good. It's good to be here. I'd like to thank all of those that emailed me, welcoming me here to Valley View, and I'd like to thank those that, as a matter of fact, it reminded me of the verse when I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. Some of you went home and sent some meals. Thank you very much. Some of the elders arrived at home with much needed meals that my wife. We're still unpacking, believe it or not. And I think we'll continue to unpack for about 3 or 4 months. So, but the plan is, here's the plan. When we get the house to a point where it's livable and you could come and visit, we'll have an open house. And I'm going to invite all of you to come. Not all at the same time. So we'll probably just come, you know. That way you'll see where we live, and like we say in Spanish, mi casa es su casa. You've heard that before? Yeah. See? All right. And we really mean it. We're glad to be here. And I just pray that we begin this journey together for one purpose, is to honor and to glorify Jesus Christ. Wanted to congratulate you also, because I heard that my name was mentioned in regards to a certain offering that was taken up. Praise the Lord. You did it. We got caught up. Could we keep it that way? Could we keep it that way? It would be good. It would be good if we do. As the Sabbaths go by and as the years go by, because I plan to be here many years. Would you like that? All right. Just checking. You get to know a little bit more about me and my family and kids. And we'll just have a great time together. But this morning, let's get started. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for giving us life, for giving us an opportunity to worship together as a church family. And I pray that as we worship, and as I get to know my congregation, and as they get to know me, that we will continue to honor and to glorify your name as we worship together from Sabbath to Sabbath. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Three texts I wanted to share with you. The first one we'll find in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. This happens after Moses has been called by the Almighty God, and he is sent to Pharaoh. And the first verse of chapter 5 says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Second text I'd like to share with you is found in Acts chapter 4. And verse 8. 4 verse 8. Story of Peter and John. They were arrested. They find themselves in front of the Sanhedrin. And verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And then he continues to speak about practically what authority he had to be able to tell them what he was about to tell them. And the last text is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, you might be thinking, well, what do all these texts have in common? And why did I choose these texts? Well, you see, the people that went an encounter, whether it be leaders, whether it be a group of people, they encountered them. Their first sort of statements were why they had the right to be able to stand in front of them and be able to speak to them or tell them something or give them a reprimand, whatever it was going to be. They always said, this is why we have that right. Moses said, simply, the Lord God sent me. Well, that's a lot of authority that God has, and God sent Moses. And Paul and Peter and many other prophets, they were sent by God also. Why do I say this? I don't know about you, but lately, sometimes some people really don't take the pastor's call like seriously. It's like it's another job. It's something that they studied for, and that's what they do. That's what we do. We go to school, we study, we come out, we're a pastor, we serve a few years, we go to Andrews, and then you get your master's in divinity. I'm still trying to figure that one out. And then you're a pastor. But some people, and some are they don't see that as something real. And that's why I wanted to share something with you this morning. As a matter of fact, I don't think my parents have ever heard, or my sister or my brother, because it comes from me, my perspective. Number one, I did not want to be a pastor. Some people say about any career, sometimes that they're into, they come up to you and say, you know what, I'm doing this, this, or that, but that was the last thing I would want to do. On my last of things that I had, the list of things that I had, that would probably be the last one. Well, being a pastor was not even on my list. It wasn't even last. So now you're wondering why I'm up here, right? See, you know, as I grew up in Huntington Park, Seventh-day Adventist Church there in Huntington Park, California, I saw what the pastors went through. I had first-hand experience of what happens when the board does not like their pastor. Man. And, you know, sometimes you would get together and all these vegetarian Adventists would start eating their pastor alive. Oh, my. I said, you know what? I don't want any part of that. I didn't. So being a pastor, no. Not me. Not me. I'll just do something else. So the year was 1981. There I was. I was ready to go out and solve all the problems of the world. I had wisdom. I had arrived to the top of the mountain. I mean, I was ready to go. I was ready to face the world. I had just graduated from high school. And, I mean, I started thinking, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then I realized something. It just sort of hit me. I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. So what I did is I enrolled in East Los Angeles College. Any of you ever heard of ELAC? Oh, there's some of you. Louis has heard of ELAC. Not a very good place. Gangs and shootings and stabbings. And you don't want to walk out in the evening. That type of thing, you know. And especially if you're a short little guy like me, you wouldn't want to be out in the evening. You'd get in trouble. So I graduated. I went to East Los Angeles College. And there in that neighborhood, I started becoming what I wanted to do. So I wanted to be a draftsman. You know, drawing. I still have all my equipment. Except I got rid of the big table and stuff. I want to be a draftsman. So I started taking classes for that, and then I found out that architects get more money than draftsmen. So then I decided to be an architect. So I kind of switched, and I started doing that. But then I got tired of that, because you got to understand one thing. I was trying all these things, but then I really didn't find any fulfillment in them. It was fun at the time, but then as it started to go, it wasn't really fulfillment. So then I decided, you know what? I like helping people. I'll be a psychologist. So I switched and I started being a psychologist. But the book, I still have, I think I still have one book that I had since that time. Everything has changed, but I still have the book. I started to be a psychologist, and that just lasted for a little bit. Then, some of you might know, and some of you might not know, but sports come easily to me for some reason, except golf. Those little white balls have a mind of their own. So I decided to be, Chad, I decided to be a PE teacher. And I changed and I wanted to be a PE teacher and I took all the classes. And then after a while, I didn't find any fulfillment on that. So then I decided to take up music. I thought I could sing. Oh, I took a quarter of voice and a quarter of piano, and I sang in the choir and all kinds of things. So then I changed. I then wanted to be an accountant. I was good with numbers. So I started taking classes to be an accountant. Oh. But after a while, you know what? Sitting down and just looking at numbers and... I didn't want to be an accountant. So what was I going to be? You know, I've tried everything. I wanted to be a mechanic at one point, a dentist. I mean, I didn't want to be a doctor, though. That cutting people and blood stuff, uh-uh. Plus, I didn't have the GPA to do that. So here I am, going through all these things, and I find myself one summer talking to the Lord. Have you ever talked to the Lord? Through all this, I've always been involved with the church. As a matter of fact, as I was growing up, there was only one day that I wasn't in church. All the other days, it was either prayer meeting, it was either youth meeting, cleaning the church with the deacons. I mean, I was heavily involved, youth leadership. And one summer, 1983, there in 2631 Grand Avenue, I was standing there, just talking to the Lord. Asking Him, Lord, what am I going to do? 2 years have gone by. I've practically did everything I could, and now I'm searching to try to do something else. What am I going to do? And here I am, talking to the Lord, and I don't even know, to this day, I do not know. The person that knows, you could ask her. That's my mom over there. You ask her. I haven't even asked her. But she came out the front door, and as she came out, this is what she said. She said, ¿Te gustaría ir a Montemorelos a estudiar teología? That is exactly what she said. Well, I suppose you want a translation, right? She said, would you like to go to Montemorelos to study theology? I mean, it was clear, theology. I said, you know, and I knew, I don't remember if there was some going back and forth or something, but I knew, finally, I said, all right, I'll go. But you know, it was one of those sneaky, I'll go. Here's why I said, I'll go. Because I didn't really think it was going to happen. It was impossible. Number one, just let me give you a little bit of the an idea of what happens when you go to Monte Merlo's. Number one, you feel the sense, or you think you can be a pastor, so you would write a letter to the university stating, you know, I'm interested in being a pastor. Believe it or not, maybe there was email back then, but I didn't know about it. So it was a letter. So that would be at least a month by the time they get that. By the time they read it, they get together and they say, okay, he's material. Then they would send a packet back to me. In that packet, there would be all kinds of instructions, and some of those instructions were you need to get 3 pastors, they need to recommend you, they need to write letters, they need to... Yeah. And then you would get all those letters, all those documents together and send it back. Their committee would get together and look at all the things and then say, yeah, we could accept them, and they'll write back and say, yes, you know, you could get ready and all that. Okay. Number two, they didn't like you starting a quarter, I guess. They didn't like you starting in the middle of a quarter. They wanted you to start, like, class of 83 will start in this, class of 84. I was sort of going to end up in the middle of 83 and 84, and they didn't like doing that. So I said, not going to happen. They didn't like to do that. I had not been accepted. Number three, I had never had a passport, and you needed one to travel. And it was going to be out of the country, so I needed to make all types of visa requirements, student visas, and pictures, and all kinds of things that I was saying, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I mean, I could stand here and tell you all the obstacles that I was looking at, and I was saying, yeah, I'll go. 2 or 3 weeks, found myself in a plane going to Monte Morelos. Then the other thing, I forgot to tell you the most important part of all this. It takes money. And I didn't have it, and I didn't know where my parents were going to get it, but they said, if you want to go, we'll pay for your education. And we're heading there. We got there. And within a few weeks, I was enrolled. I was accepted. And from that day on, I started really seeing how the Lord had opened up all those doors, all the miracles. I mean, everything possible, it fell in place. Like it was going to be that way. Like the Lord knew where I needed to be. Has it been satisfying? Yes. It's an amazing feeling to be able to stand in here and baptize somebody in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to know that Christ, that God Himself, could take a person and transform their heart. And you were part of that. It's been very satisfying. Has it been easy? No. 2 or 3 times in my ministry, you've heard the expression, throw in the towel. I was ready to throw in the Bible. It's sometimes it's been hard. And I literally on my knees, pleading with the Lord to please release me of the burden of this responsibility that He has placed on me. To please release me of that. And I'll be honest with you, there has been at least one time where I had these evil thoughts of just having the opportunity to have that choice that God gave Moses to say, "Stand aside, Moses." I said, "Lord, give me that opportunity." But I repented from that. And I haven't thought about it since. It's been good. The Lord has brought me here. And let me tell you why I have asked the Lord to release me of this responsibility. Because running away from God is not a good thing. I mean, my brother Jonah found that out. You know brother Jonah? And it's not a good thing to fight against God. My brother Saul found that one out. Remember your brother Saul? Yeah. But the Lord has not seen it fit to release me from that. So here I am, ready for ministry. Am I happy? Yes, I am. Are we going to work together? Yes, we are. Are we going to uplift Jesus Christ? You bet we are. That is what we are here for. To uplift Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Everything. Whether you're at work, at a play, whether you're just reading, whatever you're doing, we need to do this to honor and to glorify our God. You know, we sort of sit here in a little hill. It reminds me of why we're here. You are the light of the world. And we're up here. We should be able to shine to the community. This is a big valley. And I've walked and I've seen many people. And you know what? I have come to a conclusion. And you know it and I know it. People here also need the Lord. But let's bring it back home also. People here in our family, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. So, the Lord still is working with me. He still wants me to work for Him, and I still seek His will. It's election year. Did you know that? Yeah. So this year we're going to be choosing a new president for our country. And you've heard all the promises. They make promises, don't they? And it's okay. It's okay. And this morning, I'm not going to make any promises to you. I will only make two promises to you. And you could hold me to those promises. Okay? I give you permission that if you ever see that I'm not keeping those promises, you come to me and you tell me. Is that fair? All right. First one. I will always follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. I have given my secretary, the last secretary at times, I have given her the information for the opening song, the hymn, the last, the scripture, the title, and Sabbath morning, the Lord has changed all of that. He's my boss. I'm sorry. What can I do? Number two, everything I do, everything, whether it is preaching, whether it is mowing the lawn or painting that rail that needs painting, or giving Bible studies or visitation or even at home, everything I do, I'll do it to my best of my ability, and always, always to honor and to glorify Jesus Christ. Now understand one thing. The best of my ability might not be the best, what you think is my best ability, but I promise you, I will give you the best of my ability. And I always give Him the best of my ability. Always. Always. So, thank you for your invitation to come and minister here at Valley View. I have really taken seriously the fact that your search committee has met, that they were guided by the Holy Spirit, and that God has called me here to minister to you. I am serious about that. But thank you for your invitation. Thank you. So where do we go from here? Well, I wanted to let you know that I cannot do this alone. And you know that. To minister in a church takes the ability, takes the gifts and the talents of all of you. I don't have it here, but I had the... Oh, yeah, here it is. It's a nice list. And as I was going through this list, there was still some... Now, I'd like to really thank you for what has been done. Excuse me? The blank ones are for me. You know, there are still a few blank spaces here, and I know some of you have been asked, and you're still deciding whether you're going to do this or not. Take it as this. It's not a service to the church, although it is, but it's really a service to God, the Most High. It's a service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would ask you, how much do you think we owe Jesus? How much? What part of our life? I mean, what percentage of our life should we give to Jesus Christ? I want to ask you something this morning. And I like this platform. That's a lot of room here. Which means, from time to time, we could fill this up. Because I, like I told you, I like to be led by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes in my sermons I have, at the bottom, right at the bottom, it says, call. Altar call? ? Why? Because the Lord always leads me on whether I should do that or not. It's not something that is pre-planned. It's not something that I have written out. And guess what? Call. I would like to know if there are some of you that are willing to say publicly, Pastor, thank you for being here, and I am standing up for Jesus Christ, and I'll be willing to participate with you in bringing, continuing to bring ministry to this valley. Is there someone here that would like to stand up and say that? Thank you. Makes me feel much better. But I like to take it a little step further. Is there some of you that would like to come down here as I have a prayer of dedication as we minister to this valley? Are there any of you that would like to come down here? It's okay if you stand there. Don't feel pressured. But I like this. Come on in. There's a lot of room here. I like this. You know, and I met some of you, and I know some of your names, and we will continue to get to know each other. And yes, come on up. I want to have prayer with my church, because you are my church, right? Yes. Yes. And I know some of you are guests, and some of you don't feel uncomfortable at all. Thank you. Thank you for standing. Thank you. We're going to minister together, aren't we? Because there are people out there that need the Lord. Let me just give you an example. Hi. What's your name?
Noel.
Noel. Nice to meet you. And you? Megan and Noel. How old are you? And you?
15 and 13.
Nice to meet you. You are members here, right? Okay. Neighbor comes over and he says, hi, I'm your new neighbor. My name is so-and-so. I don't want to say his name. And you know what? I graduated from CAA, he says. I went to Walla Walla, and I graduated from there. My family still, they're Adventists. They go place other churches, not here in the valley. And he says, but I don't go to church anymore. It's amazing. The people that need the Lord. And that's why we're here. This church is for the sole purpose of ministry. Yes, I like the socials. I like to get together. I like the fellowship meals. All that is nice. But let us keep in mind that there is a main purpose of why Valley View Seventh-day Adventist is here. To minister to the people of this valley. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this responsibility that you have given me. I want to thank you for the opportunity that you have placed upon me to come and be the pastor of the Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church. Father, you have your congregation here. There are leaders here that have been carrying many heavy loads, and there are some maybe that this year for the first time they will be heading up leadership positions. Father, there are some that we still need to fill, and I pray that you may work in the hearts of those that are contemplating in doing something for your honor and glory. Father, I pray for each family here, for each young adult, for each children, for each child, for each youth. They are precious in your sight, and I pray that you may bless them. Bless the school, bless the teachers. Father, bless everything that we do, and I pray that everything that we do may be to honor and to glorify your name. Father, I know that there are some families here that have not been coming. There are those that might be discouraged. There are those that might be physically unable to attend. There are those that spiritually their walk with you is not there. Father, help each one of us to be an instrument to bring them back to Jesus Christ and to bring them back to fellowship here at Valley View. Thank you once again. And as we begin ministry here, and as they continue ministry, we just want to let you know that we love you and we want to do everything to honor your name. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. You may return to your seats. Thank you for worshiping with us. And we'll get acquainted here more and more. I'll try to get all your names here soon. God bless.